Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. It has certainly been a while since I have said that intro on a podcast. I have to be honest with you. I had to step back for a little bit, to be honest. Sometimes I have learned, in order to take care of your mental health, you have to get further away from other people's mental health. And for me, I have been doing this for almost 7 years now on the podcast, mixed with a few years prior to that, also being a therapist, you know. And if you listen to the podcast about, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes ago, I talked about how I went back to being a therapist for a very short time. It lasted about 2 months, I think, something like that. I had to just see what it was like, and I did a whole podcast on that, so I'm not going to be covering how the system is still messed up. I think I've covered that in depth on this podcast over the last 7 years more than I probably should have, but I don't know. I think it needed to be said. But, you know, I woke up early this morning, probably about 4:30, actually, and just couldn't find myself able to go back to sleep, you know. Sometimes I'm sure you find yourself like that some mornings. Maybe some nights you lay there just thinking, you know, nothing's really wrong per se, but the mind won't shut off, you know. And I look back over my life a lot, and I try not to look too much into the future of my life. Perhaps that's why I find myself in random places doing random things. As many of my friends often say, man, how did you end up doing that? You know, but, you know, I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. I was just chatting for a little bit, and he started asking some questions. And anyway, we just started chatting, and, you know, you get through the typical, what do you do? what do you do? That kind of stuff. And, you know, I'd mentioned, you know, I do this podcast, and, you know, after a while, I realized I had told him a few things that I had done. And his first question to me was, how old are you, man? And I thought, you know, well, I'm just 38, man. And, you know, he kind of had a look like, man, you've done a lot for 38. And I thought, have I? Really? Because for me, I feel like I still have so much to do, and sometimes I confuse that I have so much to do with I haven't done anything, you know. You may be there sometimes in your own life, too. And I don't know, it just had me thinking. So I figured, you know, I hadn't done a podcast in a while. For me, when my heart is dedicated to something and I go full in on something, I tend to just dive in, you know, all the way, sometimes to my own detriment. I go in all the way and forget to come up for air sometimes for whatever I'm doing. And, you know, I'd stretched myself pretty thin over the last couple months, you know, opening up a comedy club, still running a digital marketing company, and doing some events. I help out with my lady's business, and, you know, it's sometimes I plow ahead so fast that I forget some of the things that I wanted to do or I thought about doing. It's like I just respond so quickly to what's passionate, right? What moves me in life. And when I get moved by something, man, and I commit to it, my God. And, you know, for me, this podcast was something, probably the most steady thing that I had done in my life. for a long time. You know, back 2013 is when this started. Even for me, sometimes I say that. I'm like, wow, 2013. Sometimes that seems like, oh, that was a couple years ago. I'm like, wow, no, that was 7 years ago, man, since I started this thing. And, you know, I went down the road of podcasts, and I interviewed kind of the rounds of those guests you're supposed to have, right? From Stephen Kotler to Dr. Carl Hart, right, and so on. And after a while, it started, I kind of ran out of things that, well, made me inquisitive, that made me curious. I kind of ran out, right? And you see a lot of talk, memes, whatever it is you want to say, about never stop learning, right? Keep growing. And I agree with that, you know, to an extent. But if you're pushing yourself to continuously learn all the time, man, sometimes you get so caught up that, I don't know, I think maybe constantly trying to learn a whole bunch of new things all the time, maybe you don't really get into something that's yours, right? Or maybe you forget things that you were really passionate about because you learn so much. And sometimes I think you can get information overload, which is where I possibly think this rise of anxiety that we see and people have talked about possibly could be coming from, is we have such an overload of information, right? I mean, you pull up any social media platform, and after a couple scrolls down, I mean, if you don't really realize how much information you're plugging into your head at once like that. So I did a few experiments, actually. I would kind of assess, you know, my heart rate, how I felt at a certain point, right? And then pull up social media and go through that, and then kind of reassess some biological signs, as well as just emotional and cognitive functioning, how I was thinking, what I was thinking, etc. And it's a pretty drastic difference from, you know, going from, say, a resting heart rate, if you will, right? Maybe coming out of some bed meditation. I like calling it bed meditation. Sometimes I lay in bed and just kind of close my eyes. And I mean, you can call it meditation. I do. And come up from something like that and, you know, go through social media, and you're kind of like, man, I didn't realize, you know, what we're doing. So perhaps that rising in anxiety that we all see is this need we believe is supposed to be this constant idea of constantly learning, right? And we can trace research and a lot of things back to it's better for brain functioning, cognitive functioning, you know, holding off dementia and other things. And sure, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that learning is bad, right? That's not what I'm going to say. But, you know, I dove into competence, if you will, trying to get competent and know as much as I could know about as many things as I could know over the last 7 or 8 years. And even prior to that, prior to podcasting, I had made a major change in my life, right? Went back to being a therapist, or went to become a therapist. But even as that was happening, before being a therapist was on my radar, I read as many books as I could get my hands on, right? I mean, as many, like, it was ridiculous, man. If I had some addiction, you could probably say it was probably to reading, right? And some people are, that's good for you, you know? But after a while, I kind of, I'm not saying I know everything, right? but as I kind of stood in a dark room of information or things to know or think about, or the unknown things, from physics to religion to you pick it, right, to philosophy, I think I got to the edge, really, of like, all right, I've seen and read and heard and listened to a million podcasts and speakers and read books on this, that, and the other, and kind of got to a point of, all right, now what? All right, I see this is where we're on the edge here. This is where we're on the edge. Now, I couldn't talk about the intricacies of most of this stuff, right? I couldn't write a book on it, right? So I wouldn't consider myself nearly even fully competent on all of those topics, right? Not at all. But, you know, as a chess player in my head, I was able to see the pieces on the board and in so many different categories of places in life, to where I could kind of go, okay, I can kind of see how the moves and where these moves would take us to, right? You know, and shout out to those that do dive into topics specifically, you know, whether it's, I dove into mental health. Oh my God. It was so deep to where negatively affected my own mental health. Right. And I guess I'm, I guess I'm saying that sometimes stop learning, right? Stop questioning so much of everything, right? And learn to just be kind of in a moment and accept that. I feel like over the last probably year, and more relevantly, the last 2 months, I'll probably go short over the last month, maybe, I felt something change in me. I felt a tick change in me. Something had moved, right? Not a tick, right? Something had moved to a place. I used to say this statement all the time. I don't know, back when I started the podcast, it's in the book too, trust the universe will unfold as it should. If you make the next right choice, trust the universe will unfold as it should. If you make the next wrong choice, trust me, the universe will unfold as it should. And that to me used to remind me is the universe is going to unfold, right? And I have found over the last month, letting go, and I know it's cliche, right, to a point, but really just kind of doing what you can to a point, right? Then allowing whatever is supposed to happen will happen, right? I typically stay away from the word supposed to happen, right? And I just kind of let it be, man. And I've found a recent serenity in doing that. But I tell you, I don't think I would have gotten to this point where I'm being able to do that almost naturally, without the hell that I had went through, and have been through, a different kind of hell for me, you know, over the last 2 years, I'd say, the last 2 or 3 years for me, in full transparency with you all, has been a very difficult struggle with me, with anxiety, man. It's been tough for me. I'd found myself in situations that I couldn't believe myself to be in, feeling certain ways I couldn't understand even, right? My mentor, mental health, Leo Dannenbaugh, shout out to you, used to say this little rhyme, if you will, to remind me, right, as a therapist back then, with all things cool, calm, and benign, I'll solve anyone's problem unless it's mine. And man, did that ring true over the last 2 years, you know, as I really was spreading myself thin between, you know, friends that were going through some pretty tough things in their life. And I was on the phone with them constantly or messaging them a lot. Friends came and stayed with me as they went through some things. And also trying to answer, you know, many messages and people that were reaching out to me through social media. And other avenues, just kind of telling me what they were going through, you know. And for me, it's kind of weird when I'm helping somebody, I kind of have to put myself in this zone. I think, unfortunately, I have some weird superpower of being able to really feel other people's pain and understand it. And unfortunately, that started wearing on me. And I think after so many years of doing a mental health podcast mixed with being a therapist at the same time, also, you know, trying to be the one there for, you know, all of my friends, right? Now, even to a point, sometimes I have to be honest where I question, where I was like, man, it seems my friends only call me when they're going through things, you know, not just to say hello. I know there's a couple of you out there, so I know it's not all of you. But, you know, it really had built up a really heavy anxiety in my life, guys. And I mean, so much, man, that it got to a point 2 years ago where, you know, it was nerve-wracking for me just to be in a restaurant. And, you know, then I started self-diagnosing and going through so many things mentally that I think I spun myself down my own mental health hell, if you will, right? Trying to solve my own problems to a point and figure out why. And, you know, I say all that to say I'm trying to see an appreciation for it because at the time, you know, at its worst 2 years ago, it felt like a hell, a trap I couldn't get out of, you know. But because all that, I think, is why I'm able over the last month or two, really, to be able to kind of sit back, to not worry, right? I typically would say that anxiety lives in the future thoughts, depression lives in the past thoughts. And being present simply are the thoughts we choose, right? That would set our mental tone for the moment, right? So, you know, It even feels new for me, right? Because I'm such a future planner. I'm such a chess player with what my moves are, what my next move's gonna be. At least it appears that way sometimes, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm just, let's go for it, right? It's just take the door and the hinges off, and let's just ride and see what happens, right? And that has fed me some good things, and that has certainly taught me some lessons. But, you know, being able now to understand that, I guess I'm speaking to those out there that if you may be feeling that at the same time, right? Going through some sort of anxiety or something tough or depression, right? I mean, God, I'm almost laughing at myself how cliche some of this sounds and how many memes are made about it, right? But I guess things are cliche for a reason, right? Is perhaps, you know, that steel is sharpening steel, right? That the hell that you're going through or walking through may bring you to a place that you can't even understand where it's shaping you, right? Where it's actually taking you. I certainly did not. You know, I often over through those very tough bouts of anxiety would be going, man, I can't be this guy. I can't be the one struggling with anxiety. I'm Mr. Mental Health, right? I'm the guy that wrote books on take care of your mental health and podcasting on it. And it can't be like this. This can't happen. And sure enough, man, it hit me so very hard. One where I gained even further empathy for those going through it. And I think over the last 2 years, when people would reach out what they were going through, I almost could feel, I felt such an empathetic response for them that I began to put my own mental health at risk. I wore myself completely thin, to be honest with you, enough to where I had to stop some relationships. I had to kind of go just no. You know, when people would reach out, and I apologize if you've reached out over the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, you know, trying to request some help or what to do, I had to take care of myself. And for the guy that opens every podcast and closes every podcast with, I hope you're taking care of you, I had certainly forgot how to do that, and perhaps was trying to do it so much that I was driving myself further and further down a mental health hole, if you will. But yeah, it was difficult for me to really grasp that. You know, for most of my life, I think my mom told me once, you know, Adam, you've always saw yourself as invincible. And I certainly felt that way sometimes, right? And you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've learned I'm not. I've certainly learned I'm not invincible. And in twofold, right? When one knob goes up, the other one goes down. As I began to gain or experience some heavy anxiety like that, there are parts of me that started going, oh, wait, I got a lot of stuff to do here, right? And it brought so much of, you know, my passions or dreams or things I wanted to try so much more to the forefront, right? So utilizing, you know, the anxiety to scare me so much to where like, hey, I got to do stuff, right? I don't have time to worry about anxiety right now. I got things to do. That it worked, it helped beneficially, right? But God, I couldn't see it then. Let me tell you, it's still hard for me to look back and until I kind of feel how I feel now, and how I think I feel, right? Of, you know, it's gonna work out, right? Whatever it is, it's gonna work out, and it may be what you want, it may not be what you want, but sometimes what we want isn't really what we need, right? So many cliches on this podcast already. My God, you know, be careful what you pray for, right? Some things like that. And sometimes you get things, and sometimes what you don't get is the actual blessing, right? But trying to understand whatever it is you're experiencing in the moment or what you're going through, and analyzing that to try to see what part of the knob turned that up. Where did you increase, right? Where did your steel get sharper, right? So as I went through that pretty hardcore anxiety, man, I began to even further go, why would I wait to try anything that I've ever wanted to try, right? That's why I jumped into comedy and trying comedy. I've always wanted to try it. I jumped into that like 2 years ago and tried it for the first time. And I just started pushing everything, like, man, because it literally felt like I could die. You know, anxiety was so rough on me. I'm like, man, I'm going to die today, tomorrow. Is that a heart attack? What is this? You know, one of the jokes I say on stage is I've looked up so many symptoms on Google. I've died of cancer 3 times, and probably more than that, right? I got so deep into trying to find more competence, knowledge, and learning. And, you know, I'll ponder with you for a minute metaphorically, right? And I'll tap on the religious bell for a minute, right? And I'll go from the Christianity bell, right, about Adam and Eve, right? And they ate from the tree of knowledge, right? And then all things were basically revealed to them of right and wrong and earth. And they kind of, you know, they lose the blissfulness, right? And so that made me kind of question when I started the beginning of this podcast, right, is never stop learning, right? Learn, learn, learn. Heck, I wrote about it in my own book about, you know, trying to get competent. And maybe we need to think about that and pump the brakes on that for a little bit, right? sometimes I wish I could go back and unlearn all the little things that I have learned, right? And just reset my hard drive and go back to blank. You know, that bliss really is a place you want to be at, right? Hell, I even cut caffeine out of my life. This is decaf, by the way. I've been almost 30 days off of caffeine. But, you know, that maybe bliss really is it, right? That we're diving in with so much to learn. And I do love the commenter quote that the more I learn, the dumber I realize I am, which is true. You know, as you dive into certain topics and things, you go, oh my God, I didn't know this. I don't know anything, right? And it kind of humbles you down a little bit, like, Jesus, I thought I knew stuff, right? So, you know, I wanted to come on and do a podcast. Maybe I just needed to feel that little bit of, I don't know, that rush or whatever again. You know, I haven't been able to be on stage in a little bit, and I had to make some changes with the comedy club. I had some people that I thought were friends, wind up not being friends, but hey, that's what happens, right? But I hadn't just cut on the podcast randomly. I had no topic. I had no structure, right? That's how this thing used to start back in the day, is I would just go live and go, all right, what's coming out? You know, how are we going to do this? What are we saying? And, you know, I think I needed to do that. So I kind of set the gear back up here in the studio, you know, and made my little cup of decaf and figured I would just chat and talk to you about, I was doing some bed meditation, right, this morning, just kind of laying there and thoughts of what is, what isn't, what should be, right? Looking back on things, looking forward on things, looking the present in things. And, you know, just wanted to come out and say that, I guess. And I had this guilt inside that I had not done a podcast in a while, you know. But to be honest, I mean, this is going to sound shitty, I know, but I haven't really seen anybody or whatever to where I'm like, man, I'm going to talk to that person. Now, I'm not saying it's them. It's not you. It's me, right? that it was me, but I just wasn't nobody. I wasn't hearing anybody say anything new or that wasn't recycled or I hadn't really kind of heard before in some fashion, you know. Not there's a million interesting people out there. Don't get me wrong, right? That's why I said it was probably me. Where I got to a point where I didn't want to learn anymore. You know, I was forcing one or two podcasts to come through. Like, all right, I got to do this. Like, I just have to deliver it, right? You got to stay consistent. And, you know, I certainly lost some subscribership, certainly, which I get it. Most of us have the attention span of a gnat nowadays. And if you're not kicking out new content and new material constantly, right, people will find other places to go. But for me, this wasn't ever a job. For me, I didn't start this podcast years ago so I could get sponsorship money, so I could sell products, right? I mean, sure, it helped sell my book, right? But other than that, this for me was never a business, and perhaps why it never got ran like one too. So I did this out of a passionate push for change in mental health at the same time as a push so I could learn things, so I could sit with some people I've always wanted to talk to. I remember laughing at one or two guests that came on that were so above my pay grade intellectually, like it wasn't even close, right? And I remember sitting there looking at them in a podcast and thinking once or twice, like, man, they're talking to this small town kid from Pine Hills, Ocoee right now. And, you know, this person's a New York Times bestseller or some world-renowned researcher or scientist or something like that, right? And I'm going, what? what is happening? And sometimes I thought that was just funny just to do that, right? Just to see if I get people to come talk to this nobody and sit in front of him and chat, right? But I don't know what happened, you know, with the passion for the podcast. You know, you can fight the world, honestly, but the world eventually does win, you know? And I felt like maybe I was screaming into oblivion all the things that were happening with mental health, because I still don't see any changes in that field. Things still getting worse in that field. I used to get mad and say, like, do we need more mental health awareness, right? Or do we need actual mental health change, right? I got tired of just talking about, let's be aware of it. Heck, I even questioned the point of, is there too much mental health awareness? Is there too much mental health awareness to where we're so aware that mental health exists that we begin to check symptoms of ourselves, right? That we begin to go, man, is this depression? Is this anxiety? What is this? Let's. I mean, I read an article. I actually wanted to do a podcast on the article, which I'm not going to because it's way too long, right? But maybe you can find the article. It was in the New Yorker, and it's titled "Introducing 78 More Feelings." Sometimes scientists believe we have infinite emotions, so as long as we can name them. I'm like, that's what we need. And that's what we need, 78 more emotions to experience. I mean, are we basing our new human emotions off of how many emojis there are? Like, it's getting ridiculous, right? And I'll do the brief little intro of it. And if you've read my book, The Cognitive Rampage, you may smile. But the person talks about they came across a anxiety, right? A hangover-induced anxiety. I scrolled down a little bit, but they were talking about how so many more scientists, right, are coming out and pointing out that maybe we actually do control our feelings with our thoughts. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of cognitive practitioners have been saying that for a very long time. Shout out to some of the greats over there, Albert Ellis, which you could see my wall. I'll give you a little turn. Maybe you can see the wall, right? My wall of greats over there. Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud's got to be up there. I mean, although he's kind of out there. Jean Piaget, Eric Erickson, Carl Jung already. I'll let you guys know that. You can see the rest of the studio too if you want. Didn't turn everything on in the studio today. But, you know, they've been saying that for a while, right? And then to come through and read this article where they're talking about that, and so many books had pointed this out, I was like, you know, yeah, maybe we do, right? Maybe. But 78 more emotions, yeah, that's what we need. We need 78 more emotions to cover, to talk about, to possibly call ourselves. You know what I mean? That's what we need. We need more of that. So I appreciate that, Andy Nelson, watching, man. It's good to hear that, man. I appreciate all you out there that have been watching and listening, all those that bought the book over so many years. Huge love to you guys. You know, it was scary, though, how I wasn't doing the podcast, right? I just wasn't doing it. I'm on a tangent right now, okay? And I watched my subscribership slowly start to just dip. You know, we had just broke over 400,000, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that. And I just, it was like, cool. But nothing inside of me was wanting me to sit down. Nobody was moving me to try to, you know, book this person on the podcast. And it's a tiresome gig. Let me tell you, trying to book people to come on your podcast that, you know, maybe have been on one or two larger podcasts than mine. And you're asking them to come on the show. And a lot of times you get the same redundant thing, the same thing they said on the other eight interviews they do on your interview. There's those that make the rounds, right? And you hear them on somebody else's podcast and you're like, ah, all right. I mean, give me a new idea. You know, I'm kind of going, give me an idea I haven't heard. That's why I had the myopathy guy on here. I had never seen somebody talking about ending myopathy, that wearing glasses makes your eyes worse, that you can re-correct your eyes. I'd always mention that. I used to just say, man, I feel like I'm wearing my glasses, my eyes get worse. And which is true, apparently, right? That's what he covered. But so that's why I had Jeff on. I think it was Jeff Steiner was his name, or something Steiner. Either way, Jake Steiner, that's who it was. It was a cool podcast. I wish I had more time with him, too, but I had to wrap up that day. But other than trying to hear something new. You know, we've had the metaphysical people on here that talk about some things where I'm listening on the podcast like, all right, that's a little woo-woo, but hey, you know, whatever you believe, right? And shoot, we know beliefs and placebos, right? We know the effects of all that. So who am I to question anything if it's working for themselves, right? So I would just let people go off on the podcast, say what they need to. Had a, you know, anti-vaxxer person on here, right? There's pro-vaxxer. I was just like, all right. And for a minute, I just thought I was starting to add to the already noise that was out there. You know, the noise of the arguments, the polarization between two ideas. And, you know, the more I kept fighting, you know, this addiction treatment and all this other stuff and mental health. And I was getting so angry, right? I was getting angry. I was getting intense and I didn't see much changing, you know, I just felt like I felt like I was throwing BBs at a giant wall, like hoping it would come down, right? I don't know. Excuse me for the terrible metaphor. But I just felt like I wasn't getting anywhere and we weren't going to be able to make any changes. I still don't see any changes on the horizon at all, really. Like almost getting worse, right? And I had to step back and take care of myself, man, and kind of go, man, I got to step away a little bit. And the more I've done that, I have to be honest, the healthier I've gotten, you know, which for me, I was just kind of in this podcast, if you will, share some special bond. Those that listen to me, those that have been listening to me and read the book, share my thoughts. You know, we have this kind of unspoken bond, right? Over so many years, some of you have been listening, shoot, I don't know, 8 years, 7 years, 4 years, I don't know, that I felt bad that when I didn't come back on and say, hey, welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you live in your cognitive rampage. I felt like I was letting people down, right? And I would just kind of look over at it. Maybe the way a musician, you know, that doesn't play for a while looks over at the guitar in the corner and kind of just looks at it one day and walks by, looks at it one day and walks by, looks at it and maybe decides to pick it up and play again one day. It wasn't in my heart, man. It wasn't in my heart. And almost the further I got away from it, the healthier I got. And that was sad for me at the same time, right? Because at a point in my life, this podcast was all there was in my life. It really was all there was in my life when my marriage ended and I decided to leave. When I did that, I literally had nothing. I gave everything to her. I gave everything away. Everything fit in my car. All that came with me basically was my podcast equipment as I was finishing the second portion of the second edition of the book. And I could throw up the podcast and vent and talk to some very interesting people. And it was it. It was like me and my podcast, right? It was like my pet. So the relationship I've shared with the podcast and the listeners that have, you know, probably heard me go up and down and go through things and even change my mind about things, go hard in the paint about some things. I appreciate all of you that have stayed around, perhaps is where I'm getting. I appreciate all of you that have stayed around to hopefully say, you know, maybe Adam will do another podcast, right? Maybe he'll come back. And I apologize to those that have been wanting more out of this podcast or more out of me or to book better guests on the podcast. I guess I feel like I owe you an apology, which I do. I feel like I owe you one, especially if I think it, right? But yeah, thanks for listening, though. Thanks for sticking around and being around for so many years, sharing your stories, too, whether it's comments or emails. And again, I apologize if I haven't reached out to all of you. I've had to step back and take care of me, you know, like I tell you all to do constantly. And circling back, I don't think I ever, there's probably about 4 points on this podcast I never finished, man. But trying to book some of those guests, you know, that, as my grandmama would say, a little too big for their britches, wanted to get paid to come on podcasts, right? They inquire, they have booking agents for them. And for me, I felt like I'm not a veteran podcaster, right? 7-8 years is not a veteran, right? There are people broadcast or podcast for 15 years, right? But I feel like I jumped in the game kind of halfway through before everyone had a podcast, right? having a podcast is like the new vegan thing right now. You talk to a vegan within 30 seconds, they're going to tell you they're a vegan. Now, when you talk to people within 30 seconds, they have to tell you they have a podcast. And that's cool, you know, that people can find the voice and put their stuff out there. I think a lot of it's noise. I think it's convoluted, right? It's murky. I'm glad that people have an outlet that way. I really am. But it reminded me back when I was a DJ. I was a DJ when before CDJs come out, and you came out and you actually had to use vinyl records in DJing, even though they've made a comeback. CDJs hit, and there were some good DJs around, some great DJs around spinning vinyl, doing their thing. I tried to be a good DJ. I was mediocre at best. And then CDJs hit, and all of a sudden everybody was a DJ. Like everybody had their own playlist. You just hit sync and everything worked right. And I didn't have a love for it anymore. I'm like, all right, everybody's doing this. And so with podcasts, and maybe that had a role in it too, where I just felt like there were 1,000,000,000,000,001 podcasts popping out, and there was such an overload of information out there, plus weighing the same thoughts at the same time, that perhaps too much information is actually negative, that can be bad for you. And all of that kind of began to just make that perfect storm for me, which made me step back for a little bit. So, yeah, I think that's what I was going to cover, man. You know, learn to take care of yourself. I know it's just a slug is what they call it on the radio, right? No one listens to terrestrial radio anymore. But that tagline of take care of yourself that I say, there's so many ways to do that, and ways that we're also thinking we're taking care of ourselves but are actually hurting ourselves. And for me, diving into so much knowledge constantly, right? Constantly in the pursuit to learn more, to gain competence, in the constant pursuit of that, I learned for me, wasn't healthy in the end to keep up that kind of pace. For some people, it's their thing. They need it to keep moving, right? Maybe I think it's a way that you're putting on horse blinders from your own life, right? That you're staying. But for some people, they need it, right? Some people read the same things over and over, right? They read the same type of author. They read the same type of philosopher. And they tell people how to live their lives or how they should live their lives when you're not even living your life that way. sorry, man, I'm pulling out some random stuff in the back of my head. There's a person that I know that is a very good writer, nice guy, does some pretty unique things in his off time, but continues to write the same article over and over again because he reads the same authors over and over again. And reading those things and then reading, you know, very well written articles and stuff, I know him. And I'm like, you couldn't live farther from what you're telling people how they should or shouldn't live. And you live exactly the opposite. But I don't know. I wish him the best. I'm not going to put him out there. But it's funny to see that. So when I saw most of that stuff start to kind of wash over in front of me, you know, people reaching out, me not being able to respond. I'm circling back, all right? I got left field, but I'm going to circle back and finish talking about taking care of yourself, that sometimes it means doing things that you don't think are good for you, like stepping away from things that you love a lot. Maybe not being there for friends as much, protecting your own heart, protecting your own mind from people, even though you may be with that person that wants to be there for people and wants to listen and help and probably has, and you probably have the skills to help and maybe say something, right? But sometimes to take care of ourselves, we got to not do that. We got to not help other people. You know, that's, it's a hard thing to grasp even for myself. And sometimes we got to walk away from things we love for a little while, to recenter. And that's okay. That's okay to do that. And I wanted to come on live early this morning, randomly, right? Didn't plan this at all. And talk to you all about that, about the bed meditations and the deep thoughts I've been having, at least deep in my own mind, and share those with you and just give you some things to ponder and some things to think about. And also, like I said, apologize to those that where I felt like I hadn't feel like I'd let you all down that had been avid listeners and followers of the podcast. I apologize for not being around for a while and doing some shows. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm back, right? I'm going to be doing these podcasts more frequently, right? I can't promise that. I'm not going to promise anything really. It's been difficult not doing it. I can tell you that, but also healing not doing it. As sad as that sounds, right? I love you guys out there and gals. I love you. I hope you're really taking care of you. Don't be afraid, please, to try something that you've always wanted to try. If you're dealing with anxiety, I think the best advice I can give you that's short, if you're dealing with anxiety, is go anyway. Go anyway. You may not feel like being out in the world or out at some place or going to this thing. Go anyway. Don't listen to that anxiety telling you just should stay home where it's safe or where you'd rather be. Go anyway. Go out and continue to live despite the anxiety, despite even the depression. If depression's got you sitting at home too and not wanting to do anything, not feeling motivated or anything, in short, go anyway. Go even though you don't want to go, right? Use the behavior to change a feeling as much as you can use your thoughts to change a feeling, right? And push yourself forward back out into the world and test yourself, try things, but also ingest. As I say that, ingest, learn to also trust that the universe will unfold as it should. And if you do the next right thing, the universe will unfold as it should. And if you do the next wrong thing, trust the universe will unfold as it should. I love you guys. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you live in your cognitive rampage. Love you.